Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 174 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. Hey, welcome to the stage, Raven.
Raven? Oh.
No, not the wrestler. No. Not like that. Not the wrestler, Scott.
Yeah, but I see where you're going with this. That one story Raven told where he went to a gentleman's church, and I remember that when he was eating a fillet of fish or something. Mm-hmm. I remember that story.
Are you talking about the RF video shoot?
Yes, I am.
Gotcha.
And that's where it stops.
Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, before we jump into plugs and plug-in t-shirts and all that stuff, last week we had our parents on, and the response to that episode was so overwhelming, and we want to thank each and every one of you guys that sent something. Like the Doing the Favor guys, they talked about it on their show this past week. Want to thank everybody because it meant so much, and I hope you guys don't mind, but I was screenshotting stuff and texting it over to Mom. Literally, the responses that you guys sent to us helped make Mom's Mother's Day even better than what it was. So, sincerely, from us boys over here, thank you to everyone, the PPW Podcast, Ring Skirts, everybody, thank you so much.
Yeah, it really did, Jeff. It meant the world to them that you guys were sending messages in, and Jeff, you were sending them to Mom, and they had come over here for a barbecue, and Mom was showing me on her phone the messages that you were sending, the screenshots, and it just meant the world to Mom and Dad, and one of them specifically kind of brought a tear to Dad's eye. It really moved him, and yeah, honestly, Jeff, from the bottom of our hearts to all of our listeners out there that gave us the overwhelmingly positive response on that episode last week, thank you. It meant the world to Mom. It meant the world to Dad. Thank you guys so much.
For 2 weeks, Mom and Dad were like, did that episode go okay? Are you sure it was all right? How did we come across? And I'm like, you guys were fine. Don't worry about it. Everything was fine. Okay. And then like 2 days later, are you sure it was okay? Or do we need to redo it? I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah, Dad was like, I don't want you guys to be like called nerds or anything for having your parents on your show. I'm like, oh my gosh, Dad, we're not in grammar school anymore. Don't worry. We can love our parents and have them on our show. It's okay.
You don't have to park around the corner in front of high school, Dad. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. That was 10th grade, Dad. This is 2019.
Right. So again, thank you. It was a minute tweet. All you did is sent a tweet in, and it took a minute and a half. That minute and a half tweet that you guys took the time to send over meant the world to our parents. Thank you guys. Sincerely, from us over here, thank you so much.
And Jeff, one thing that I did want to touch on from that episode last week, Dad mentioned an account that we haven't touched. And to kind of just go quickly into that, Dad said, okay, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars. If you guys need stuff for the show, it's here. Just let me know if you want it. And he mentioned that we have yet to touch it. I want to let the listeners know that because they go purchase t-shirts, that we have not had to yet touch that money. So you guys are literally 100% funding this show. So in addition to the big thank you for the positive response last week and the tweets that you sent, thank you also for supporting us by buying a t-shirt because, again, you guys are 100% funding this show. This show is driven by you guys. So another big thank you to you, the listeners.
Speaking of those t-shirts, Scott, everybody can grab one over at Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. You can pick up any of our past t-shirts, the Slang in a t-shirt, WFP poster, any of the card back t-shirts, which came out beautiful. I wear mine to the gym all the time, Scott.
Sun's out, guns out.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WF. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on fullyposablepodcast.com. Download that Podbean app if you're on the go. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please write and review on iTunes. Scott, like this week, it comes in from Willie Wonderful Ellis. The title of this one is Bring Back Nostalgia.
Yeah.
He gave us a sweet 5 stars. He said 3 out of 5 stars now, but he gave us 5 stars. Bring back vintage 5 stars classic, meaning the nostalgia. We started to bring that back, and then we kind of stopped again. We've had Macho Madness. We've been announcing the Hall of Fame and inductees. So it kind of got pushed to the back burner. Scott, you were pushing for it today. Might need to bring it back next week.
Yeah, Mr. Wonderful is not wrong. It will be coming back. We love that segment too, but it's one of those that when there's other stuff to get to, it kind of gets pushed out, just like Everybody Has a Price, Who Did It Better, you name it. They tend to be like the back burner segments that if we have other stuff that has to come before it, it gets pushed off until the next week, hopefully just 1 week. But you're not wrong. That is a great segment. We love it too. It kind of takes us back, and we know that that's a lot of people's ties to this show is the nostalgia factor. So rest assured, it is coming back, and we'll pick up the BCAs where we left off. It is coming, but, you know, Fig Life Hall of Fame Series 2, Macho Madness, interviews. Plus, Jeff, we've pushed off the listener segment for a few weeks now, so we've got to get all those in tonight too. So rest assured, it is coming back.
Yeah, we're a little backlogged on listeners. We are going to get a few in tonight. If you have any questions, any audio questions, or anything else at all, you can send them to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, Figure Friday comes in this week from Handsome Zach at SNES_Chalmers64. It's kind of funny. That's a Simpsons reference. Ralph Wiggum looked at Superintendent Chalmers and called him Super Nintendo Chalmers. So that's a Simpsons reference for you right there, dude.
Nice.
Zach sent this in. He sent in a Jax ECW CM Punk figure. He says, my Figure Friday goes to Jax ECW Series 1 CM Punk. This figure holds a special place in my heart as it was a gift from my mom before she passed away. Hashtag Fig Life. Thank you, Zach, for sending that in. I know that that figure means a lot to you. And that's one of those sentimental figures that I know that you're never going to get rid of. You're always going to hold on to. It's one that you're going to treasure forever.
That's really the heart tug figure, right? When you walk by it, hang it up on your wall, it catches your eye every time and it immediately shoots a memory into your head. And that is a perfect Figure Friday to go to right there, Jeff. I love it. Awesome looking figure. And it's kind of nice to have those figures up on your wall. When you pass by it, you happen to glance at it, and it shoots a great memory into your head. Those are the best Figure Fridays.
By the way, Zach, thank you for sending that in. Scott, did you do any toy spotting?
I did. I actually went to our local Walmart because I've had the Fig Life wife on the hunt when she goes to Walmart to do the shopping. And obviously, she's been telling me nothing there, nothing there. Well, I needed a couple things. I'm like, you know what? I'll just go to Walmart, and I'll peruse down the toy aisle, see what's new. Would you like to guess what I found at Walmart?
Series 3 Retros with Goldberg, Seth Dean.
Actually, Series 3 Retros would be at our local Target, Jeff, of which they still have Seth and Dean.
Oh, God. okay, so Walmart. Jack Gallagher?
Yes.
Big Cass?
No. Surprisingly, they had 3 big Casses on my last visit there, and all 3 are gone.
I wonder if somebody bought them and then took them to another Walmart just to get them off Tracy's pegs.
It's possible. Or Big Cass himself rolled through Tracy Walmart and saw that they had 3 of his figures sitting there. And he's like, dude, I needed 3 of these, and bought them and bounced.
let's see. I'm on a roll. Top picks.
Yes, of course. They had all the top picks elites.
How many?
They had 1 to 2 of each guy.
1 to 2. Okay.
Yeah, so like they had just put out a fresh case of top picks.
And let me guess, a slew of basics.
Dude, it was like you were seeing Walmart through my eyes. Yes, 1 Jack Gallagher on the pegs. They had all the top picks elites and a slew of basics. They did have some battle packs. That would have been the Singh brothers, the Finn and Shinsuke, and the Sammy and KO. They had those battle packs. And that's it. That's all of the WWE figures that they had. So if you count top picks as elites, they probably had 8 elites, of which 1 was a series number elite, and that would have been the Jack Gallagher. So nothing to report, again, big surprise, from our local Walmart, but I did get in my RSC order today, and that consisted of the retro Daniel Bryan, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Bray Wyatt, and the Storm Collectibles Hogan. So I literally just got those when I had gotten home. So I haven't really had a chance to admire them too much yet. But dude, I'll tell you, that Storm Hogan, OMG, dude, amazing figure. It is beautiful work by Storm. I wish they'd do a whole line of figures. I would love to just see them and FTC go at it for like supremacy of like best figures, because Storm killed it on that Hogan.
Oh, wait, which one did you get?
Oh, it's the red and white, dude, or the red, black and white, because the original black and white is completely sold out and goes for pretty big bucks.
How much big bucks?
Well, I didn't really do any eBay shopping on it. I just jumped right onto Amazon real quick to see, and they had one at $500.
Oh my God.
I'm like, who does this guy think he is? Harley Race? But yeah, I just jumped on Amazon real quick to see. I haven't really gone hard on eBay, but the secondary market is definitely picking up for that original Hogan, because RSC's out of it. All they have is the red, black, and white Hogan, and then the red and yellow Hogan. But dude, I mean, even if you can only get the red, black, and white one, it's still an awesome looking figure. Yeah, I think they had a sale, which is why I picked it up, because it was only like $20. And dude, for $20, you cannot pass that figure up. Best, one of the best Hogans ever made.
So Celeste did a little toy spotting for me. I also checked Walmart, nothing out here, so nothing even to report. They still have that Nia Jax, the Elite 65, hanging on the pegs where they've swapped the heads, but the heads are still sitting in the package.
That's hilarious. Somebody just wanted the other head on the figure.
I guess so. I'm thinking about taking it up and saying, look, nobody's going to buy this because it's sitting on the pegs. It's already open. Nobody's going to buy this. You know, I'll buy it. Just give me a discount or something like that, you know?
Yeah, 50% off. Sell it to me for a basic.
Exactly. So Saturday morning, Celeste was going to go help somebody move. And she goes, have you checked Popfinder this morning? She said, I can hit some targets on my way out to go help this person move. And I said, no, I haven't seen anything. So I looked through Popfinder and the number had jumped out in Fremont. And I was like, whoa, the number jumped out in Fremont. And she goes, do you want me to go out there? And I said, well, you're going to Livermore. There's no point in going to Fremont and then cut over on 84 to Livermore. There's really no point, because it'd just be kind of a long jog out of your way. She goes, I don't mind. I'm going to be super early anyway, so I'll just stop off at Fremont. So she gets there and she calls me and she goes, they don't have anything. And she goes, the stock boys are even putting everything out that they got in, and nothing is on the carts that they're hanging up. I said, that's weird. And she goes, so is it okay to go? I'm like, yeah, go to Livermore. So anyway, she goes to Livermore. So I started checking that number over and over and over. The number still hasn't gone down. It's still stuck. So I'm kind of confused, because usually when they get a case and they put it out on the pegs, usually that number's, like the Alameda one, the number's dropping pretty quick.
Right, because figures are leaving.
Yeah, this one has stayed the same, and I'm kind of like, where is this case? Like, we're showing that it has, that it's in the store or on a truck to the store. Maybe it's on the truck to the store. I don't know.
Okay, so the search party that's looking for Dufresne, we need that search party to hunt down this case.
Dufresne, party of two. Dufresne. But yeah, I'm kind of confused. Like, I'm thinking about taking a trip down there, but you know, traffic when I get off, you know, a trip to Fremont, like kind of give you guys an idea. Fremont's south of here, which is about 20 minutes on a Saturday morning if you go early enough. But if you try going after work at about 4:30, 5 o'clock, it's about an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Anyways, yeah, that was my toy spot in this past week. Scott, you did receive something though.
I did. So I was going to go into that after you finished. Before we get into the big one, I do want to say that I did get in my Red Rooster. Amazing looking figure. Fantastic. Mattel killed it. And I did get in my Alexander Wolf from Good Brother Mike. Perfect packaging. Bubbles, the works. Good Brother Mike is the man and a pillar of the Fig Life community. Jeff, yes, we did get in a big box yesterday. I shot you a picture of it. Just the box. The thing was huge. Andy shipped us the entire collection of the Wrestling Buddies. Hogan and Warrior, LOD, Million Dollar Man and Macho Man, and Big Boss Man and Jake the Snake. All of them arrived yesterday exactly as advertised. The box came. It was huge. It was all taped up. Inside, the buddies were each inside a big garbage bag. So very well protected. Plus, they had their own stuffing. So, you know, no real damage was going to get done. I snapped a picture on the kitchen table of the entire set. They're all sitting in the closet right now, awaiting a cleaning. And just being able to pick each one out of the bag and be able to hold it dude, I can't even describe it. It was literally like pulling the 90s out of a bag, and it was like a long lost regret was finally washed out. And it's so nice to have these things and not have to kick my butt anymore about not ever buying them because I was too cool. Well, now at 45, I am definitely not too cool to own the entire set of Wrestling Buddies with you.
That was the funny thing. You sent me the picture. I texted you back, how do they smell? And you're like 90s?
Yeah. I pulled them out of the bag. And of course, the first thing I go for is, does it smell like smoke? And I had asked Andy, do these come from a smoke-free home? He said, absolutely. So as soon as they came out of the bag, and being that they were all in like a big garbage bag, you'd be able to smell as soon as you open the box. He was true to his word. No smoke smell at all. I pulled him out and it was just like being in 1990 all over again. I immediately grabbed LOD and hugged him and was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And Peyton was asking who the guys were and Cindy was guessing who they were. She recognized Boss Man. And the picture's gotten a ton of love on Twitter. Thank you guys for reaching out. It means a lot to Jeff and I to have this one in our collection. And again, it's like a long time regret resolved. So there's a great feeling to that, along with being able to have them in the shared collection.
Where have they been since you've gotten them? Where did you place them?
Well, originally out on the kitchen table just for the big like group shot.
Right.
And then I put them right back into the bags and they are now sitting in the closet and I'm doing research on cleaning on them, which I've read a little bit of detergent, a little bit of spray and wash, and you want to throw them in either a pillowcase or a lingerie bag, which is what like your wife or girlfriend would throw her bras and undergarments. Ladies essentials, I guess. I don't really know. But that's what they would like throw their stuff into so they didn't get ripped up in the washing machine. So the trick now, I guess, is to find either a big lingerie bag or just throw them into a pillowcase. That way, if there's any hooks or anything in the machine, it won't destroy the fabric on the wrestling buddy. And then you want to air dry, of course. Do not put them through the machine because that changes the consistency or the makeup of the stuffing on the inside. But in the research I've done so far, that's what I've read to be the best method.
You need to like give a step-by-step instruction when you actually do this and kind of tell us on the podcast how exactly you did it, like what you bought, what you found on Amazon to use to put the wrestling buddies in to wash them. Because like there's probably more of us out there like curious, what was it that you used? You know, like what did you search on Amazon? What did you purchase from Amazon to put each one in, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, some of the feedback I'm getting on Twitter from that group shot is, dude, now I need to go collect these. And believe me, it's a slippery slope because you start doing, okay, do I want to buy just one or am I only going to get a couple to start? Or if I find the right deal, do I just splurge and get the whole thing? So rest assured, I'm on right now doing research on the best way to wash them. Once I kind of have a consensus, like I've read enough that people are doing this step successfully every time, I'm going to test it on that Hogan that Ed gave me. And I'm going to run that Hogan through the machine using that step. I'll see how he comes out. And if it works, then the other eight are going in right behind him. So yes, once I know I have a full step on cleaning it, then I'll let everybody know.
All right, we want follow-up.
Oh, there's definitely going to be follow-up. Absolutely. But dude, it is so great to have these guys here. Like it's literally like going back to your childhood. And you know, you get certain figures like when you got the Killer Bees LJNs. We never got those as kids. And it was really cool as an adult to go back and complete another piece of your collection. But these are like a boy stuffed animal. You know what I mean? Like girls have stuffed animals and it's like unicorns and bears and whatever. Boys had wrestling buddies. And it's just kind of cool to get that piece of your childhood back. You know, like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I wish I had this when I was a kid, and it's so cool to have it now. And again, when I grabbed LOD out of the bags, dude, it was just like a big bear hug to the LOD. And oh my gosh, I can't believe I finally have them. Dude, it was so great. I had no shame. I wrapped myself up in the 90s, and it was amazing.
Did you do the American Beauty shot?
I did not. And it's because I didn't have a photographer. So once I can teach Shannon how to do the slow-mo shot, I'll have somebody throw the wrestling buddies at me. She'll be my photographer, and I'll be the one accepting the buddies all over my face.
That's disgusting.
Thank you.
Well, Scott, as much as we could talk about wrestling buddies all night, we do have to get into the news. But before we do, I do want to send a thank you to Derek at DJ Hartfield. Thank you so much. He also sent over an Alexander Wolf. he was the one that wanted our shirts, and I was shocked.
Oh. You're like, oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah, I want to thank him. I got the Alexander Wolf. A good figure, dude. I'm pretty impressed with it. And I also got the Red Rooster also from Target. Both good figures.
Nice. Yeah, the Alexander Wolf is amazing. They really nailed it. And again, we've mentioned it in the news several times, how Mattel is really hitting their stride with these guys. From Alexander Wolf to Pete Dunne to the Red Rooster, amazing. Mattel is killing it right now. And a few figures we're going to get into in the news as well.
Yep. So I do want to thank Derek for sending that over at DJ Hartfield. Scott, we do have a little bit of news that we need to tackle, so we say we jump into it.
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, a little bit of news regarding Elite 68 Mabel. Mattel has informed that the Chase Mabel is the one with the lightning bolts going down the chest, not the Mabel with the M on the chest. So a lot of people were thinking, and us too over here, we thought it was the Chase variant, was it with the M on the chest. That is not the case. It is the one with the thunderbolts going down the chest of Mabel's outfit. So that's just a little update to the Chase variant of Mabel in Elite 68, Scott.
Doesn't even matter which one you get. That figure is awesome.
Basic 97 is going to be a SummerSlam series, Scott. That's the one with the Brett that I saw over at Access that I thought was excellent. Razor, Miz, Jeff Hardy with face paint, which I thought looked great for a basic, and AJ in black and purple.
This is one of the best basic sets to come out in a while, dude. All the basics are just that, and we rarely cover basics. But looking at the set from top to bottom, amazing Brett. The Jeff Hardy is outstanding. The Razor Ramon and the Miz look fantastic. The AJ's cool. This is one strong basic set. They really brought it on this one.
They really did. I think the Brett face is terrific. Although the pictures that I saw of it didn't look flattering, but the figure I saw at Access is flattering, to say the least. I think that that face sculpt is one of the best that they've ever done.
Now, what if you could swap that Brett head onto the King of the Ring Brett? Would that change your mind on that figure?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's an awesome Brett, dude. They really, really did a great job on that basic.
They really did. I thought they did an excellent job on that basic. And of course, it's Brett. Of course, I'm going to get it.
Well, yeah, but you can also be critical of Brett's too and not buy them. So that's happened before too. So for you to really commend a Brett says a lot.
Well, it's like the Ultimate Edition. It has that Jerry Only Widow's Peak going down the front of his face, or that big glob of hair that's going down the front of his face. That kind of bugs me, dude.
Yeah, on every head that he comes with too. And it's like, man, couldn't you have done one where it was slick back?
Scott, Funko Andre the Giant 6-inch figure is coming out, and it's going to be a Walmart exclusive. I can't wait for this one, dude.
I love that. So it's normally what the Funkos are like 4 to 5 inches tall, correct?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah, and this one's going to be a little bit larger in scale, which is so true to life. I think that that's awesome. Dude, the best part would be if this thing weighed like 20 pounds.
20 pounds? Why?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an Andre the Giant Funko. It should weigh that much. If you're going to make it larger than all the other Funkos, give it some weight too. I think that'd be great. Like, make it with metal. Like, make it, give it some weight. Make it substantial. Make it a doorstop.
Well, what sucks is I'm hearing from a lot of people around the country that say that their Walmarts don't have Funkos. Ours doesn't either, unless it's Avengers. They do have Avenger Funkos, but any other Funkos? No, they don't have them here.
Yeah, ours used to stock a ton as well here in Tracy. And they've really scaled back. In fact, I haven't seen them there in a while. And if I do, it's usually like you mentioned, yours has Avengers. It's usually like an Overwatch, or it's like a particular series of them. They have nowhere near the amount of Funkos that they used to.
Scott, our buddies over at FTC did show off the Juice Robinson design. It is going to come with a silver robe. On the back of the robe, it says the Flamboyant Juice. Got animals on the front and a kind of like a purple, red, green, blue scarf going around. He does have the bandana. They showed off the head sculpt for his outfit. It's going to be a pink and gold mashup with black and white small tassels going down the tights like Juice normally wears. I am so excited about this figure, dude.
What I love is that it's another addition to their NJPW assortment. It's not officially NJPW, but it is someone who wrestles in NJPW. And that assortment is continuing to grow for FTC, and that's what we want to see, right? We want NJPW figures. Another awesome figure out of the chute from FTC. They're getting stronger. dude, what a time to be a wrestling figure collector, really. I mean, it's a great time to be a fan of wrestling with AEW announcing they're going to be on TNT, right? Not only is it a great time to be a wrestling fan, but it's a great time to be a fan of wrestling figures, dude. And Juice is just another example of how good FTC is getting. Or, in our opinion, it was already, but in a lot of other people's minds, it's getting better. So congrats to FTC on another awesome-looking figure in Juice Robinson.
I'm a Juice Robinson fan. You know what's funny is
ditto.
I could not stand CJ Parker, but it was like the second he stepped into NJPW, it was like this huge transformation. I was like, holy crap, I really like this guy. This guy can wrestle. Like, I was talking to Brian Breaker a few years ago when Juice went over to NJPW. I was like, dude, Juice can wrestle. He goes, he's always can wrestle. And I was like, oh. And he goes, yeah, he can't really do much in a 2-minute squash match on NXT.
Right.
I was like, well played, well played.
I'll tell you, when I became a Juice Robinson fan, not that I wasn't a fan of his before, but when I really recognized his talent was at the San Francisco NJPW show last year, dude. He blew me away in that match with Jay White. I mean, literally blew me away. Like, I had seen him on the NJPW shows before that, and he was really good. But when I saw him live, oh my gosh, I became a Juice Robinson fan at that point.
Yeah, Juice is awesome, dude. I absolutely love Juice. So can't wait to get this figure. Second Chris sends out the tweet that says, Juice is in stock. Boom, it's going right into the cart.
Congrats, Chris, and congrats, FTC. Another outstanding addition.
Scott, we owe the listeners an apology. We have not neglected, but we haven't had time to get to the listener segment the past few weeks. So we are getting to a few questions this week. We're going to try to thin it out a little bit, get more questions in next week, thin it out a little bit more. We're that backlogged, but we're going to do it, Scott.
Yeah, if you've sent something in, rest assured, we will get to your question. We promise. Just like nostalgia's coming back, if you sent in a question, we will get to you.
Let's go talking to the listeners. Scott, it is time to get into the listener segment, and you received a question from a friend of yours.
Yes, I did, from my friend Ed. He was texting with me the other night, and he was talking about the Tom McGee, Bret Hart documentary that's on the WWE Network. And he asked a really interesting question, and it's one that I hadn't even thought of. But dude, if Tom McGee gets enough steam behind him, do you think we're going to get a Tom McGee figure?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yes, please, because it blew me away. I had never even considered it. I mean, this guy was never even on my radar. I was completely unaware of him. Like, I knew the name from the 80s, but nothing at all. Like, I knew more about Arachnaman than I did Tom McGee. And when he was telling me about the documentary, he's like, dude, I bet you Mattel is going to make figures of this guy. Or, like, how long before you think Mattel makes a figure of this guy if he gets enough steam behind him? I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, that's a great question. Can I bring that up on the show? He's like, well, yeah, if you put me over, I'm not going to do that. You know, he's not that cool. But, dude, yeah, Tom McGee. Could he have an action figure?
Do I think he's going to have an action figure? No. If they produced one, would I buy it? Yes.
Of course you would. I would, too.
But is this just a quick little wrestling fad? Like, everybody wanted to know it, and then once everybody see, or now that everybody has seen the video, is it going to die off? And after StarCast, when they talk about it at StarCast, is it going to die off? Or is it going to steamroll and then kind of force people's hand to do something? Maybe a little merch, maybe a t-shirt of Tom McGee or something like that. Or I don't know, dude, but it would take a lot. And I mean a lot for them to produce a Tom McGee action figure.
Well, if McGee is smart, and you know what? I will say I was on Twitter right before we came on to record tonight. And Michael Moore actually posed the same question. How long until we get a McGee action figure and or t-shirts? I'm telling you, McGee mania is running wild right now. And if McGee is smart, he is going to start putting out the feelers for merch. And if he's really smart, one of those feelers is going to go out to Mattel to produce an action figure. You're immortalized forever at that point. Ted Arcidi, Jeff, has an action figure. If Ted Arcidi has a figure, there's no reason that Tom McGee can't.
Okay. A different era, different era.
That was more of a blanket statement, right? Like, hey, if Arcidi can have one, McGee can have one. But the concept holds.
First, Tom McGee would have to sign a Legends deal with WWE. Then WWE would send it over to Mattel saying, hey, he's on the list. Then Mattel would have to make the decision, is it really worth making a Tom McGee? Because it's going to take 10 months to a year to put out a Tom McGee figure?
Correct.
So in 10 to 12 months, is Tom McGee still going to be a thing?
Well, look, Red Rooster got an action figure, right?
Yes.
Even if Tom McGee is not a thing in everybody's mind in 10 months, the wrestling figure collectors would still buy a Tom McGee figure, which means if it does take 10 months to a year to produce the figure, they could either A, put it on Target.com as an exclusive, or take it to San Diego and have it be a Comic-Con exclusive.
So it'd be a 2020 San Diego Comic-Con?
Correct.
Exclusive?
Correct.
I don't think Tom McGee is still going to be relevant in 2020, mid-July. I mean, like, there'll be the hardcore fans that are like, oh, that Tom McGee, Bret Hart tape, you know, this. Bret did make him look great, yada, yada, yada. But are people really clamoring for a Tom McGee figure?
I don't know. That is not up for us to decide. If they made one, I would absolutely buy it. I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there right now saying, yes, I would totally buy a Tom McGee figure, even in 10 months to a year when he's not relevant anymore. Here's the other big part of this, Jeff. When you and I started talking about doing a wrestling figure podcast, did you think that 3 years later we'd be talking about Tom McGee?
No, not one bit.
Me either. How crazy is that? Tom McGee, dude.
Sky, it was 3.5 years ago.
Sorry, 3.5. I'm sorry. I left off that 6 months. It's like leaving off an inch or two. Don't do that. You throw that extra inch or two in there, it adds up. Shave a little, it adds a few in. Never mind.
Well, good question. But I don't think we'll be getting a Tom McGee figure. But if he stays independent and not sign any Legends deal, maybe FTC? I don't know. That would be a tough one by Chris.
Watch Storm Collectibles come out with a Tom McGee figure. That would be hilarious. Oh, here's the other part of it, Jeff. What if Tom McGee does sign a WWE Legends deal, and what if Mattel does make a Tom McGee figure? Are you going to feel horrible for the Rock and Roll Express that they made a Tom McGee before a Rock and Roll Express?
Well, when you put it that way, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I would feel awful for the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, I'd feel horrible for the Rock and Roll Express, dude.
Like, in what world does Tom McGee leapfrog the Rock and Roll Express in terms of getting an action figure? Come on, man.
That's all forecasting and what if.
Rampant speculation!
We basically just went wish list, dude.
a little bit. But thank you, Ed, for the question. I'll be sure to text him later and tell him that he got his question into the show.
Scott, next question comes in from Soda Hunter. Hey, guys, audio question about retros. As I record this, I'm bored out of my mind sitting in my sleeper in my truck at a truck stop in nowhere, Louisiana. As you can tell, my mind is wandering. Got to get some sleep.
Hey, guys, Soda Hunter here, or at Soda_Hunter on Twitter. I've been on a big retro and Hasbro kick lately. If anybody follows me on Twitter, you know that I'm all about the Hasbros and retros right now. You know, I'm posing them in the fully posable ring, and it's so much fun doing that with these little figures here. And right now we're up to series 10 on the retros, and we're getting some really good figures the last three series. Between the Strowman and both the Hardys and Iron Sheik and Green Trunks Macho and Samoa Joe and Orton, Gold Dust. You have JYD, Diesel, Elias with the guitar. Really cool retros coming out, and they all look really good. The last three series have been home runs, you know, and there's been some really good ones in between on the other series. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Flair is awesome. The Kane's awesome. I like both the Stone Cold and the Rock. I actually like the Warrior and the Taker. I think some people don't like those as much, but I think the whole first series was a hit, and the second series, for the most part, was. But anyway, I started thinking of the different things that they could do from here. You could keep it up with like a too new, too old format for your retros, where you have two old stars, two new current stars. You could go somewhere in the middle. You could fix a lot of wrongs. You could create some old prototypes that never got released. You could do a Mabel. You could do the Lex Express, Lex Luger. You could end up doing a Jeff Jarrett, maybe. I mean, who knows? You could do the old Brutus Beefcake prototype. You could do Rhythm and Blues. You could even fix the Steamboat and make him have white tights on. So there's so many different ways that you could look at the next lines. And, of course, adding new guys in as well, you know, like Drew McIntyre or something like that. Add a Ricochet, an Aleister Black. An Aleister Black retro would look amazing. So I wanted you guys to think about it, and each of you come up with your own set, your own set of retros, your own future series. If you were to create a super future series, you could mix it up any way you want to, 4 to 6, because there have been a couple series in the past that had 6 in them. Me personally, this is what I would do. And when you come up with a series, come up with the wrestlers and come up with the actions. So just see what we can do with it. My personal next series of retros would be all women, because I figure they deserve it. There hasn't been one woman in all 10 of them, so the next set that comes out that has a woman in it, make it a 6-set series, because there is precedence for that. 1 and 2 had 6 each, and make them all women to make up for it. It's not like these won't sell. I think they would sell. Absolutely they sell. They'd probably sell more. So this is what I would do. I would do Charlotte, and she would have the clothesline chop, that the same exact motion that Ric Flair does, because it fits her. Bayley, she would have the Hulkster hug. I would get them to bring that motion in, and she would have that Hulkster hug. Obviously, she wouldn't have the bulking arms, but she would still have the Hulkster hug. The next one could go either Sasha Banks or Alexa Bliss, depending on what Sasha Banks' deal is, but both of them would have a spring jump. Becky Lynch, and I think she would have the one-arm punch, like the Jake the Snake or Roman Reigns, because has there been many of them that have that one-arm punch in the retro line? I think it's just Roman. I might be mistaken on that, because I don't have them all in hand yet. I'm close, but I don't have them all in hand yet. And I think Roman's the only one that has that one-arm punch. Asuka, I would do the new kick motion that they made with Sami Zayn and the new Shawn Michaels, and I think Sheamus has it too, and Shinsuke. I would do that new kick motion because that suits her. And Ronda Rousey, that would be the 6th one in the set. And she would have the Mattel arms up motion with the swivel waist, like the Ultimate Warrior and John Cena and Kurt Angle have, because I think that would give her the best ability to do her finishing move. You know, not the arm bar, but that other one, that kind of, I forget what she calls it, but it's like a Samoan drop type move where she throws her on her shoulders and kind of spins her down into the mat. It would be the best way to incorporate that move in it, because you're not going to get a submission move out of these things. But that's just my thoughts on what I want to see out of a future retro line. And I think it's deserving that it needs to be 6 deep, and it needs to have all women in it. And I would like your guys' opinion on what you would like to see. Each of you. I want you each to come up with one. And throw in the action, too. It can be 4 to 6, however you want to do it. And thank you guys so much for the podcast again. I'm having a blast with it. And hope it keeps on going as long as it possibly can, guys. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Soda, for your question. So, Scott, we've got a wish list.
Yeah, we don't bring this out for everybody, right? The wish list, because we've retired that one. But for Soda, we love Soda around here. Awesome dude. We'll bring wish list out of retirement tonight.
While he was talking, I was thinking about retros and which ones I would like to see. So I'm going to do a set of 4. I don't know if I could do 6, but here's my next set of 4, Scott. I loved his idea about Ricky Steamboat. And I think this would, even though the Ricky Steamboat and the Hasbro line was really good, like as far as detail and the looks of it, it wasn't our favorite era of Steamboat.
Correct.
As he said, I would like to see a Steamboat in the white, because even though Soda said it, it's something that I do want. I do want a Steamboat in the white. So my first one is Steamboat.
And what would be his action?
His action would not be spring jump.
Now, here's the question. Do you think that Ricky Steamboat restylized as WrestleMania 3 Ricky Steamboat in the jumpy pose would look better than the dragon that Hasbro released?
Depends on how you dress him up.
See, I wouldn't mind him in the spring pose with Ricky Steamboat from WrestleMania 3 restylized from the Hasbro era. I think the jumpy pose, I think it would look fantastic. And you know me, I'm not a fan of the jumpy pose, but I think that specific Steamboat would look fantastic with the jump pose.
I would go away from the jump pose and I would use the Ric Flair action, where you know how Flair had the backhanded chop for the Series 4 retros?
Okay, so for the retro Flair, not the Hasbro Flair.
Right, right, right. I would give that same action to Ricky Steamboat.
Okay.
Second one, Aleister Black. He's right. Aleister Black would look amazing in retro form. And so I'm taking another one from Soda. I think that one would be fantastic for Aleister Black to be in retro form.
Okay.
My next one, so what I'm doing is I'm doing 2 legends and 2 current superstars like they're doing right now on Mattel.
Yeah, playing it safe. I like that.
Yeah, my next one would be Tom McGee.
Will you stop?
What?
Don't piggyback off of my question.
If they can get it out in time, dude.
Okay. Seriously, though.
No. You know what I want? Very first manager. I want Bobby Heenan.
Oh, you're coming out of left field. Look at you.
Dude, Bobby Heenan figures always sell.
Oh, I love it. I'm totally on board.
If they do a Bobby Heenan retro, oh yeah, absolutely. They need to do the very first manager and it needs to be Bobby Heenan.
Okay, so here's the pose I'm thinking for him. Oh, I'm sorry. What action would you want for Alistair and what action would you do for Heenan?
So I hate to say it, but Alistair would either have Shinsuke's kick.
That makes the most sense. His kick definitely makes the most sense.
Or the spring jump.
I could see both.
I would say go with the kick.
Okay, so Ricky Steamboat's doing the chop, and it's basically WrestleMania 3 Steamboat. Alistair is either jumpy or kick, and then you've got Bobby Heenan. What would the figure look like?
So it would be Heenan in a... I don't want him to look like his LJN. It wouldn't be the one where he's in all white from WrestleMania 3. I guess you could go all black with a silver BH on the shirt.
Okay.
I guess you could go something like that.
Like the V-neck shirt?
Yeah.
Okay. With the BH on there. I like that.
And then my last one would be Adam Cole.
Oh, you're bringing some NXT in there. I like it.
Yes. So Adam Cole would be my last one in my set of four.
The first NXT retro. I love it. Okay, but what pose are you putting Heenan in? Or I should say, what action?
See, that's going to be a tough one because it's a manager. What do you give him? It's not a... Can't...
The swivel punch. It's easy.
I guess you could do the spring punch, but yeah, I think... Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right, that pose.
And then what are you doing for Adam Cole?
Adam Cole, so what I would do is I would give Aleister Black spring jump and I give Cole the kick.
Interesting. So not one of your four... had the Macho Man Series 1 pose?
No.
Wow. Okay, because that's always kind of my go-to. I think that was one of my favorites that Hasbro did. So that one is always kind of my go-to. I'm really surprised you didn't have that in any of yours.
Nope, not going with it.
Interesting. So I do love Soda's idea of the all-women line with the six women in there. I love all of his... Everything made sense from his selection of the women to the actions that they had. I love it. I love that actually he gave Bayley the same action that Jason Wolfe drew Peyton in on mine and Shannon's 10th anniversary photo. The drawing that he made had Peyton in Bayley's outfit in that hugger one. And it made me laugh when Soda in his audio. First up, I would throw a woman in and it would obviously be Becky Lynch because that's a guaranteed sell. And I don't know about the punch on that one. I do like the punch idea. I could also see Becky in the Ric Flair / Rick Rude pose from the Hasbro line or Macho Man Series 1.
Okay.
That would be my pick for the Becky Lynch.
Okay.
Next up, a Hogan retro. Of course I was going to say Hogan, right? You knew I was going to bring it the Hogan, but it would be NWO Hogan. They're not going to come out with the red and yellow right away. We're going to get the NWO Hogan retro. And it would be the Hulkaplex pose.
What makes you say they would come out with the NWO Hogan first?
No, this is my wish list.
Oh, okay.
Dude, are you telling me that an NWO Hogan retro wouldn't sell? Can you imagine? It would be like Cabbage Patch Kids in 85. Parents fighting in the aisles, stabbing each other with pitchforks, all just to get that NWO Hogan.
Any Hogan retro will sell.
Agree. But I think an NWO especially would sell really well because we have a bunch of access to red and yellow Hogans, right? But how many black and white retro Hogans do you have access to? Not many. So that would be my pick. And I would actually go Hulkaplex. I know that Mattel has not yet done that pose, but I think a NWO Hogan in the Hulkaplex would sell awesome. And you give him a molded bow accessory. Dude, I'll pay $20. And finally, Jeff, I'm going to go tag team. And of course, I'm going to say Legion of Doom. But not red and black Legion of Doom. NWA Legion of Doom. NWA Road Warriors, dude.
Yeah, that would sell big time.
Black shoulder pads with the silver spikes. That would be the accessory. And I would do Hawk, not in the jumpy pose. I would actually do Hawk in the Ric Flair retro pose. So the chop motion. And Animal, I would probably do the Hulk press slam. Or like Soda mentioned, the John Cena, where the arms go up over the head. That's what I would put Animal in. Similar to the original Animal that came out in the Hasbro line. But these would be NWA Road Warriors, not WWF Legion of Doom. So I'm going female and all old-timers. Now, if I could do six, I would go Bray Wyatt with his new scary mask.
Okay.
And since they already have a Bray done, I would be okay with just a repaint. But, dude, I mean, you put that mask on a figure, it's going to sell all day.
Right.
Especially if it's an accessory.
Agreed.
And finally, dude, to round out my series of six, it's going to be Drew McIntyre. And he would have the kick.
Boy, I feel out of the norm because everybody else went six. I feel like I should go six, but I'm happy with my four, so I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, no, you had a great assortment, dude. I love it. And I love the inclusion of the Ricky Steamboat in your line, too. I love it. That's great.
I thought you were going to say you love the inclusion of Tom McGee. What?
Dude, I'm going to have you thrown out of here. Stop trying to piggyback off my question. Tom McGee's done with this show. No more Tom McGee.
I can't promise that.
I can't either, actually.
Thank you, Soda, for sending in that question. Scott, next question comes in from Bevan Boychunk. He just sent us another question. We answered one a couple weeks ago. Thanks for reading and answering my question of the most recent podcast. Love both the LOD and Piper's autograph stories you guys told. One more question, or another question, I'd like to ask. How do you determine what figures to buy? Quality, character, era, accessories, etc. Scott, how do you determine which figure to buy?
With loose figures, I really gravitate towards LJN and Hasbro era figures. That's kind of my desire to have like a loose collection in a ring of guys that were from that era. So pretty much like your old timers, like your 80s and 90s guys. Current day, really, it's just if I think the figure's awesome, I'm going to get it. I don't really go for repeat figures like Romans and Cena's and Seth's and those are the ones like I already have really good figures of those. So unless something really jumps out at me, I tend to just move away from those a little bit. But newer figures that look really good, like the Nia Jax, for example, the Alexander Wolf, the Pete Dunne, like the Chases have piqued my interest. I don't like how hard they are to find, especially in our area where we're not getting a lot of figures. But the figures themselves are awesome looking. Really, if the figure jumps out at me as awesome, I'm going to pick it up. So that's, I don't really have a rhyme or a reason to it. If I like it, I buy it.
Same over here, like the Bludgeon Brothers, they're not even a thing anymore. But the figures were so good that Mattel put out, I was like, I gotta get these. These are sweet looking.
Agree.
So I got those out of Elite 66. Like you said, the Chases, I still never seen a Chase on the pegs.
Same. I haven't either.
I've had opportunities, but I guess I was just 2 minutes too late. So I guess that one's on me. I own that. Unfortunately, I'm either stuck at work or I'm just waking up from my slumber and 9 minutes too late or whatever it is, you know, I'm just a couple minutes too late. So the quality of figures is a huge thing with me. Also, if I like the person, that's another determining factor. Like I like Jeff Hardy, so I'm going to pick up some Jeff Hardy figures. The only ones I don't pick up are basic. So I'll pick up most Jeff Hardy figures. AJ figures, I'm kind of burnt out on. So I kind of taken a break on AJ figures, but mainly it's just quality when it comes down to it for me. Plus I'm going back and collecting old LJNs, old Hasbros. Those are another big thing, except maybe like Ted Arcides and Outback Jacks. Not collecting those so much, but I'm getting definitely some older LJNs that I remember playing with in the LJN ring. So definitely going for those. Thank you, Bevan, for your questions. Scott, weekly question from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here back with that weekly question. Shout out to you guys for bringing up play sets to Chris from FTC in that interview. He also mentioned dioramas, and when he did, two things came to my mind. One was a backstage-like area and office area. How would you imagine FTC doing those sets / dioramas? P.S. I hate to ruin the mood, Chris, but still waiting on that direct-to-the-ring ramp accessory. Scott, how would you like to see the backstage area and office area?
You know, I think it'd be cool, especially if they did get into something like the NJPW figures. I always love how NJPW has that backstage area set up where they do the interviews.
Yes.
I think something like that would be awesome with a table and a microphone and a backdrop. Or we've all seen that gif of Kenny Omega behind, who was it? Evil? Where I guess Evil says like evil, and you can see Kenny Omega mimicking in the back, that press conference area that they had set up. Something like that I think would be cool as well. So you have like a pre-match thing or like a hype up, like, press conference. And then post-match, you have like the backstage interview area where a whole bunch of stuff could go down. I think something like that would be killer playsets from FTC.
Oh, I agree with that, dude. And then the office area, yeah, I wouldn't mind an office area. I think there could be a little bit more office area, like Lucha Underground type scenery or something like that. That would be kind of cool, where Dario Cueto hung out in his office. That would be kind of cool. Or just kind of like a little open office, like William Regal's old type of office thing back in the 2000s.
Yeah, totally agree. Like, that made for some killer interviews. It made for some great confrontations. So, yeah, it's just another element of play for the figures. And I think that's a great idea, having an office. And then you get your backstage interview area set up, a la NJPW post-match. And then, like, a press conference stage, I think would be great.
Thank you, JT, for your weekly question. Again, next week, we're going to get to more questions. Scott, it is time for the Hall of Fame. So I must jump into my skimpies. And my tuxedo shirt.
Your skimpies. Is that your official name for them? Are you trademarking that right now? These aren't underoos. These are skimpies.
Yes, they're
skimpies. Fully posable skimpies.
I'm jumping into my skimpies.
Oh, gosh. There's our next shirt.
It is time, Scott, that we get into the 2019 Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame.
And now, 2019 Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast Hall of Fame.
Scott, before we jump into the Hall of Fame, I do want to thank Bane for doing that intro. He did it in one take. Everyone, head on over to iTunes, Bane-a-mania. Great album. It's catchy. I listen to it at the gym every morning. It's on shuffle quite a bit. It's in a playlist that I created, Scott, so please head on over to iTunes. And Bane, thank you again. Dude, it didn't even take him any time. He did it all in one take.
The dude's amazing. Thank you so much, Bane.
Scott, without further ado, it is that time of the year that we have the ceremonies for the Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame. You guys know who's going in. So without further ado, let me introduce the editor as she announces Tag Team Wing of the Hall of Fame.
In the tag team wing of the 2019 Hall of Fame, we have the British Bulldogs LJN. They came out in 1986. They finished as the runner-up in this year's Macho Madness tournament. The 2018 winner in this wing was the LOD Jax Classic Series 1.
Scott, last year's winner was LOD Jax Classic Series 1, as the editor said. But this year, it is the runners-up to the LOD Jax Classic of this year's Macho Madness is the British Bulldogs LJN. Scott, tell us some of your fondest memories of these figures.
My best memory of them is the day that you had them laying in my room on the bed. I had gotten home, I think it was from a basketball game or a basketball tournament, and I walk in not expecting anything. I knew you were following me into my room. I thought you were going to try to punch me or low blow me or something. Yeah, I was going to get some trains in the back of my head again. But instead, Jeff, you were waiting for my reaction to see the two-pack still in the box of the British Bulldogs laying on the bed. It was one of the best days ever in collecting, seeing them sitting there, knowing that there was about to be a throwdown in the LJN ring. Sure enough, Jeff, for the next 4 hours, there was huge throwdown going on in that LJN ring. The British Bulldogs were flying everywhere, beating everybody, wearing those tag team straps. Great memory of receiving those figures, and I would say up there with Ultimate Warrior and Hogan, probably easily in my top five most used LJN figures.
Davey and Dynamite were wearing the burgundy tights. Each one had an arm up, the other one had an arm down in the LJN pose. These were beautiful figures. They were never sitting in the pile, unused figures. Every time I sat down to play with figures, they were getting used. Whether it was against the Dream Team of Brutus Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine, whether it was getting used against Sheik and Volkoff or the Hearts, which mainly it was the Hearts. But the Bulldogs were always getting used. And so many fond memories of this. And in fact, it was funny. Dad was telling a story in last week's episode. And he says, yeah, you guys would be like, where's my belt? I don't know where the belt is. Usually those belts that Dad was talking about that was always in the trunk of the car was usually around Davey and Dynamite's waist.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know that my Bulldogs ever lost their tag team straps, actually. Even when we got the Hart Foundation. No, you know what they did? Demolition, or the Powers of Demolition cheated and beat the Bulldogs, and then the Hart Foundation beat the Powers of Demolition. That's how that went down. And then I think the British Bulldogs turned heel or something, and they beat the Hart Foundation. Something like that. But yeah, Jeff, I totally agree. My British Bulldogs never lost their tag team titles, or if they did, it was extremely rare. But remember, we didn't get the Hart Foundation until much later.
Correct.
So yeah, we were constantly having beating Sheik and Volkoff, Dream Team, Stud and Bundy. You name it, the British Bulldogs were destroying them. So many great memories of playing with these things for hours. And the way I would always set up my matches is I would put the who was facing each other side by side, and I'd put them in one big line down in front of me. And you're right, you had your pile of guys that either were getting thrown into a battle royal and you just pick your favorite to win, or the pile was just sitting off to the side not to be used. Nobody in that pile knew the Bulldogs' name, because the Bulldogs were never in that I'm not playing with you pile ever.
Correct. Same over here. I remember it would be summertime. Mom and Dad had already gone to bed. And we mentioned this a while back, but you would have your hour, hour and a half upstairs playing Nintendo. So that meant I had to be somewhere else. So you got your quiet time with Nintendo.
Or HBO late night, whatever.
Or Skinamax. But
like, darn it, we're out of Kleenex again.
Man, does Scott have a cold? But anyway,
that's not mucus.
But I would be, as Mom and Dad said, would they have a tri-level house, and I'd be in the middle tier, and I'd be in the living room, and I would set up my matches. The Bulldogs would always be on the card. Usually SD Jones would be kicking off, but the Bulldogs always got used. Same with Hogan, same with Bundy, same with Stud, same with Andre, but same with the Bulldogs. They were always in that pile, and they were always getting used.
Yeah, every time. And that was the ideal spot to play with the figures too, because there was nobody below you, right? If you were in the living room, you were on the second level, but there was nobody under you. So if you were slamming the figures on the ring, it wasn't somebody underneath you. You were constantly hearing a thump, thump. Whereas if we were playing them with the figures in our rooms and slamming down in the ring, somebody downstairs was hearing it. So yeah, that was the best room to play with the figures in. It was wide open. You could have your figures strewn everywhere. And so many great memories of playing with the Bulldogs, dude, and Dynamite's headbutt to Davey Boy's power slam. And with what LJN had to work with, I think the likenesses were pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. I thought they were too. Davey's hair was really curly, but that was just a small little nitpick.
It still looked really good, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a small little nitpick. If I had to throw something against the wall, it'd be that. But overall, I do wish they were in the blue, though. I do wish they were in the blue.
If LJN had ever done a variant, I think that would have been it. And I agree. I gravitated a little more towards the baby blue instead of the red. But dude, the fact that we had British Bulldogs figure and a Captain Lou manager figure to boot.
So congratulations to the British Bulldogs going into the 2019 Fully Posable Fig Life Tag Team Wing of the Hall of Fame. Scott, next we are doing the listener wing of the Hall of Fame. Celeste, take it away.
In the listener wing for the 2019 Hall of Fame, we have the Ultimate Warrior defining moment from WrestleMania 7. This figure came out in 2011. The 2018 winner was the Macho Man defining moment from WrestleMania 7 as well.
Scott, listener wing of the Hall of Fame voted in by the, well, by the listeners. This year, 2019 inductee is the Ultimate Warrior defining moment from WrestleMania 7. What do you think?
I think it's very well deserving. And it speaks volumes about how great the Defining Moment series is. That Ultimate Warrior is outstanding. Jeff, I know you've had nitpicks about the face on it. I'm okay with it because overall what makes that figure is the jacket. Mattel paid so much attention to detail. I don't even know how much reference material they had at their disposal to make that thing so spot on. But however much it was the perfect amount because that jacket is absolutely perfect. I love how the package has the window backing so you could see through to see how great that jacket is. Totally does the figure justice. Outstanding addition to anybody's collection and very well deserving to be in our Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame.
Ultimate Warrior is wearing his WrestleMania 7 outfit. He has two different knee pads, one with Warrior, one with Macho on the front of his knee pads. And on the back of the jacket, it also has Warrior and Macho. Like you said, it the attention to detail is fantastic on this figure. I will say it's not my favorite face sculpt or face scan of the Ultimate Warrior, but from the neck down, it's a perfect figure. I just wish they would have done a little bit of a better job on the face, but overall, the outfit that they threw him in to replicate WrestleMania 7 to go with the WrestleMania 7 Macho Man that was inducted into last year's listener wing, it just fits, and I'm glad they did go that route. So overall, congratulations to Mattel. WrestleMania 7 Ultimate Warrior defining moment. Scott, it is time for the bad side of wrestling figures. It's time for the Hall of Shame wing.
In our Hall of Shame 2019 wing, we have the Doom Gloobs, which came out in 1990. The 2018 winner was the figure we love to hate, Rick Rude LJN.
Scott, Hall of Shame wing this year goes to Doom Galoob, like the editor said. What do you think?
I hope that Marty DeRosa agrees with us on this one. He's our kind of our resident Galoob expert. I hope he approves. Look, an easy fix on these figures would have been, hey guys, maybe we don't put them in sweats and sneakers. Maybe we put them in black tights and black boots, how they look every single weekend on television, and not this one house show where we happen to have a picture of them from a street fight. But unfortunately, Jeff, that's not what we got. We did not get black tights and black boots. We got sweats and sneakers on two highly anticipated figures from the 1990 WCW Galoob line. It's unfortunate. I was really looking forward to these guys, and I'll never forget the first time I found Ron Simmons first. I actually found these guys single carded instead of the tag team two pack. Found Ron Simmons first and was like, is this a joke? Did I find like a variant figure? Like, he's wearing sweatpants and sneakers. What is this crap? And it wasn't until years later that we found out from Marty DeRosa that it was from test shots that they had taken from a street fight at a house show of Doom versus two of the Four Horsemen. And they took the test shots, and that's ultimately what became the Doom figures. Instead of the guys you saw on every pay-per-view or every Saturday afternoon, we got it from a random house show where they had a street fight, and that became our Doom Galoob figures.
Both of them are wearing sweatpants. Yes, I said that correctly. Sweatpants. I can't believe I'm saying that still. Kind of a darkish blue sweatpants with white tennis shoes. The face on them isn't bad.
No, excellent face sculpts on them, dude. The faces are awesome. The face sculpts are great, but the outfits.
The Butch Reed pose where he has one arm up and the other arm kind of out. It's a good pose. It's a good Butch Reed face sculpt. But they're wearing sweatpants. Like you said, we were hoping for so much more. The Ron Simmons, his left arm is molded to his upper torso. And he's kind of in a flexing pose with his right arm. But you can't use the left arm.
Yeah, think Rick Rude or Ric Flair from the Hasbro line. That was kind of the pose he was in. But that you're right, that left arm was molded to his body.
So you couldn't do anything with the left arm. So basically all you're doing is neck breakers and clotheslines and flying clotheslines.
Yeah, or maybe power slams.
And snapmares.
Yeah, because he did those all the time.
It was such a letdown in 1990. It was kind of like, you just scratched your head at this. And it's one of those that's kind of stuck in our craw for 30 years now. But it is what it is. Those were what we stuck with, and that's what we got.
Well, the tragedy of it all, Jeff, is we've never had a redo on Doom figures. No manufacturer has stepped to the plate and said, hey guys, we got this. We'll make the Doom figures you've always wanted. We have yet to receive the Doom figures we've always wanted, be it with masks, no masks, tights, boots. Look, they could even put them in their Starrcade 90 outfits where they did have a street fight, but they were wearing jeans and like tank tops. I would even take that Doom over this Doom.
Right. That's the bad part. Is like, just like you said, we didn't get the redo. We didn't get it. Like Hasbro, they looked at First Boss Man and they looked at Brutus Beefcake and they're like, hold on, we could go back and do better. Let's do a mulligan. We never got that with these Doom Galoobs, unfortunately. And no toy line in future years went back and redid these. No Jax, no Toy Biz, no Mattel, no nothing. We never got that redo of Doom. So, well deserving of the Hall of Shame. People will be like, oh, they don't look that bad. You're right, they don't look that bad. but what we were hoping for and what 1990 Jeff and Scott got in hopes to have them run roughshod over their WCW galoobs. We just got guys in sweatpants like they were going to the gym. Like they were like the only thing missing was in a fanny pack accessory, you know?
We were huge fans of Doom, and we were greatly anticipating these figures because they came out after the main, I think like the first six or eight came out, and Doom came in behind them. Like Doom came out later, they were harder to find. So the anticipation was there, like, dude, these Doom figures are going to be amazing. Like I'm looking everywhere for these guys. They're going to look so great. I can't wait to find them. And then when you finally found them, you're like, is this a joke? Like they're in sweatpants and tennis shoes. Like where's the masks? Or okay, that's fine, no masks. Where's the tights and the boots? Like what's going on? This is not Doom. So needless to say, huge disappointment, and they never won the tag team titles.
So welcome to the Hall of Shame, Wing, Ron Simmons and Butch Reed. Scott, one wing we like to have in the Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame is an underrated wing. And this is a wing that when somebody looks at a line and they think of all the figures, maybe one gets overlooked. But if you look, if you go back and you look at it, it's actually a really good figure. So, Celeste, please announce the next entrant into the 2019 Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame.
For the 2019 underrated wing, we have the Bam Bam Bigelow LJN Series 5, which came out in 1988. The 2018 winner of this category was the Smash Hasbro.
Scott, Bam Bam Bigelow was in his flame outfit. He had one eye kind of closed. He had a snarl on his face, had the tattoo bald head. What do you remember most about this figure?
I remember how excited I was to get it. I loved Bam Bam Bigelow. As a kid, you weren't used to seeing the big men that were extremely agile, right? Most of the big men like One Man Gang, King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, Andre the Giant, they were very slow and prodding. Then you get a guy like Bam Bam Bigelow coming along and the dude's doing cartwheels and flipping over the top rope and shooting over the top rope to splash onto opponent. You're like, dude, where did this guy come from? He's amazing. As a kid, I was blown away by Bam Bam, and to have a figure of him made it even better because LJN absolutely nailed his outfit. They nailed his face. They nailed the tattoos. I love the expression on his face. Everything about this figure was perfect. And as a kid, I loved being able to do his finishing move where he could grab the top rope, pull back, and shoot up and over. He was in the perfect pose for that. This figure has always been one of the top of, probably in LJN's, I would say in my top five. Great figure. I've always felt it's highly underrated because not a lot of people mention it when they mention great LJNs, but Bam Bam Bigelow definitely needs to be in that discussion.
When everybody thinks of LJN, everybody thinks of Savage, everybody thinks of the Hogan, everybody thinks of the Warrior, the Blackheart Series Axe. But one figure that doesn't get mentioned a lot is the Bam Bam LJN. And what's funny is I always thought this figure was really good looking. I was like, it was a good figure of Bam Bam, but I never liked the pose. I didn't like how his arms were kind of hulking out a little bit. And it's funny because it wasn't until we were doing, I think it was episode 6 or 7, Scott, of this show, when you said you could slingshot Bam Bam over onto his opponent like he was doing on TV. That changed my mindset of that figure. That it was literally on the air. You could see my eyes just get wide and you could hear my hamster turning in my wheel up in my head just like, oh crap, Scott's right, you know? And I was like, you know what? Scott is right, and now this figure is complete in my mind. And if I had the Bam Bam LJN, which I do, but if I had the Monster Ring, I would go back, not the Monster Ring, the LJN ring, I would go back and I would start playing with him again and start doing it just because I missed that era. Bam Bam did get used when we got him. He did get put into matches, but it wasn't high quality matches because I wasn't really big on the figure itself because of the pose he was in. Now looking back, I wish I would have known what you did.
He was always upper mid card to like top of the card for me. Because again, I was a huge Bam Bam fan and I was super disappointed when he had that poor showing at WrestleMania 4. I was hoping he'd go all the way to the finals. But I used that figure a ton. And I always liked figures that you could either do their finishing move or something close to it or a lot of moves with it. The Bam Bam, you look at him, you could probably do a running bulldog. You can kind of do a body slam. You can kind of do like a jumping clothesline. But the fact that I could do his finishing move perfectly with him was what catapulted him to the top of my card when I was playing with LJNs. He was usually going against Bundy or One Man Gang. Every once in a while, he'd lose to Andre, but he was always played with. Awesome looking figure. The body type is perfect. The outfit, the face scowl, everything about that figure is just perfect. And I feel very highly underrated when people talk about LJN.
So welcome Bam Bam LJN to the underrated wing of the Hall of Fame 2019. Scott, the next entrant is going into the female wing. Celeste, take it away.
For the 2019 female wing, the Nia Jax Elite 65 Mattel was the winner. This one came out in 2019. The 2018 winner was the Miss Elizabeth LJN.
So I'm going to take you into a little backstory of Scott and I putting together our Hall of Fame. We put our Hall of Fame together. We kind of started in late March and we kind of finished it all up in April. But when we came to the female wing of the Hall of Fame, Scott and I both kept saying, well, we could put in Precious. We could put in this figure. We could put in that figure. But one figure that kept coming up was the Nia Jax figure of Elite 65. And we kind of were like, well, we are saying this is the greatest female figure ever put together. And I think we need to put our money where our mouth is. And that's what we did. Scott and I just looked at each other and were like, we might get some people saying this is too soon, but in our eyes, we felt that it wasn't too soon. And we have always said this is the greatest female figure to date. So we felt that we needed to put this Nia Jax figure into the female wing of the Hall of Fame.
Jeff, I think it's very well deserved. So when we were having the discussions, you had mentioned maybe we put Precious in because technically she is the first female wrestling figure that was created. And that's a logical argument. Okay, we put in Elizabeth LJN last year. Putting Precious in makes a lot of sense. You're going into the history of it. But then it was like, dude, put the Nia Jax with the braided head scan next to Precious. There's no comparison. Even putting that Nia next to any of the Trish figures that have come out, be it from Jax or Mattel, or anything that Jax put out previously of any of the other females, there are definitely some awesome figures. I'm not discounting any of them. But for you and I, Jeff, putting this Nia next to any of those figures, none of the other figures stood up. This figure came out, and you and I both said it's the best female figure of all time, specifically the braided head scan. I'm still standing by that. Yes, we had an amazing Ruby Riott come out this year. There are going to be more Rubies coming out that are going to be fantastic. There's a Liv Morgan figure on the horizon. The women figures are starting to get really, really, really good. But I think Mattel had their master of puppets when they released Nia Jax Elite 65 with that braided head scan. It's like they took Nia Jax and shrunk her down and put her into an Elite 65 package. It's that good. It's scary good how close that looks to Nia Jax. I own the figure. Every time I look at it, I'm blown away by it. It's the best female figure ever created by any wrestling toy company. I will stand by that to my deathbed. If there's a better one that comes out, I will be the first to admit Mattel beat their best. This one is better, but until that day, Nia Jax Elite 65 is 100% deserving of being in our Fig Life Hall of Fame.
Nia Jax comes with three different head sculpts, one with kind of fluffy hair. Then she has the hair down to the left side. And then, as Scott said, the pink braided one, that is the one that blew us away. If you own that figure, go look at that pink braided head scan. It will blow you away. Just like the likeness of it is scary good. Like the likeness is too good, almost. Like, I don't want to say it's too good because it's just like it's perfect. Welcome Nia Jax to the female wing. Well deserved. Scott, it's time for our headliner. It's time for our main event. So take it away, Celeste.
Last but not least, in the 2019 main event wing, we have the Macho Man Hasbro Series 1. This came out in 1990. Our 2018 winner was the Hulk Hogan LJN.
Scott, Macho Man Hasbro Series 1, what do you think?
It's, if not my favorite Hasbro, it's in my top three. The pose that he's in remains my favorite Hasbro pose. It's where both arms lift up at the same time and come down by his side. His stance is perfect. You can perch him on the top rope and you put his arm up. It looks like he's about to deliver the flying elbow. He's got his trunks on. He's got his knee pads. He's got his boots. He's got his sunglasses on, which I wasn't a huge fan of, because I don't like when the wrestlers have their entrance gear on and you're going to play with them in the ring. But this one got a pass from me because of how good that face sculpt is on him. He's got that Macho Man grimace that I don't know how Hasbro captured that so perfectly. There have been a lot of fantastic Macho Mans. That Hasbro captured that grimace so perfectly. And to this day, as we talk about that figure, I guarantee everybody listening to this that owned it or has seen it has that image in their head. It is that iconic of a figure. Every kid had it. It was in Series 1 of Hasbro. Pretty much every kid in America owned it. Hasbro absolutely nailed it. And I can't think of a better figure to headline this year's class than that Macho Man Hasbro. I used it a ton playing with it. He did so many flying elbow drops. The stance is perfect. The pose is perfect. The action is perfect. The face is beyond perfect. The grimace. Hasbro capturing that. I can't stress that enough. How hard that is to capture. How big is that head, Jeff? An inch and a half? 2 inches?
Do you want me to measure? I'm just not, kidding.
unless you have the figure nearby, you're not measuring anything.
All right.
The fact that they were able to capture a perfect likeness in that small of a scale speaks volumes about the job that Hasbro did with their line. And this Macho Man, to me, the yellow boots, all the way to the top of his head, a perfect figure.
So I'll also kind of go into the backstory of this one. Scott and I were putting together our Hall of Fame again. And we threw out a bunch of figures that could go into the headliner. And we were like, oh, what about this one? What about this one? Well, one of them that came up was Macho Man Hasbro Series 1. And we kept throwing more figures on top of who could headline our 2019 Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame. We kept going back to Macho Hasbro Series 1. And so Scott and I were just like, yeah, Macho Hasbro Series 1 has to be our headliner. That was what we kept saying, is it has to be. Even though we threw a bunch of figures on top of it, what about this one? Nah. We've got to go with Macho Hasbro Series 1, because that was the very first series after LJNs, and we loved LJNs. That was the very first series of another line. And for them to able to capture Hogan, able to capture Macho, able to capture Demolition Smash, who was in our underrated wing last year, it just blew our mind that they were able to do that and just blow us away with these little, what were they, 5-inch scale, Scott?
Yeah, 4 or 5 inches.
4 or 5-inch scale. It just blew us away. And some of those figures are better than anything that anybody puts out today. And that's how good Hasbro was. So to go back to the Macho Man figure, when you got that figure and you looked at the card and it was Macho in a silver robe pointing the finger with the figure to the left of it, if you're looking at the card, you're just like, holy crap, these are amazing. These figures are absolutely amazing, and this Macho is amazing.
You're right, Jeff. That's a great point. We didn't even mention the card itself featured Macho Man in his signature pose, perched, pointing up. But then when you looked over and saw the actual figure itself, the yellow boots, the yellow knee pads, the orange trunks, the stars on the front, the signature sunglasses and headband, it was Macho Man captured perfectly. And I remember being blown away as a kid because Hasbro had already beaten how good the LJN Macho Man was with their 4-inch version. And I was like, dude, we're in for a special ride with Hasbro here, because this first series has killed it. They've already beat the Macho Man that we love from LJN. So what's funny is when we were having the discussions about our main event this year, Macho Man kind of became the bar and every suggestion was measured against him. And I'm sure some of those names that we threw around this year are going to be in the discussion next year. But this year, it had to be Macho Man Hasbro Series 1.
Absolutely. So that is the 2019 Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame. Scott, I was eating Doritos during it.
I was drinking Mountain Dew. And you were enjoying being in your skimpies.
Dude, we're on a California budget. Dude, weren't you drinking like Mountain Crew or something like that? Or Mountain...
all right. Yeah, you outed me. It's Mountain Thunder.
I was drinking Dr. Skipper.
I was drinking cola.
Just cola. It was like when mom and dad used to get the beer from Jemco, and it was just a yellow can that said beer.
Yep, that's it.
That was it.
It was literally a yellow can that had, that was the generic version of everything. It was just in a yellow package. The beer was no exception. A yellow can that in black lettering just said beer. That would actually make a really good shirt. Just a yellow shirt and black lettering on the front, just beer. Or person.
Yellow shirt says human.
Yeah, exactly. That was the generic version back in the 80s.
Well, that rounds out our Hall of Fame, Scott. 2019 is in the books. 2018, last year, LOD Jack's classic Macho Man defining moment, WrestleMania 7 for the listeners. Hall of Shame was Rick Rude, LJN, which was well-deserved to kick it off. Smash Hasbro, Miss Elizabeth LJN, and Hulk Hogan LJN for the headliner last year. I look forward to next year. It's going to be tough to top, you know?
It really is. I mean, there's great figures going in every single year. And I mean, I feel horrible about the Doom submission this year, but I can't get over sweatpants and tennis shoes. I really can't. The face sculpts were fantastic. Butch Reed's pose was great. Ron Simmons, not so much because of the molded arm. But man, sweatpants and tennis shoes, that's going to get you right into the Hall of Shame.
So congratulations to all our winners of 2019 Fully Posable Hall of Fame. Scott, that rounds out episode 174. You can get any of our shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on FullyPosablePodcast.com. Download that Podbean app if you're on the go. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Thank you, Willie Wonderful Ellis, for sending in that five-star review. We are bringing back the nostalgia segment.
We promise.
Well, we brought it back, did BCAs for a few series, pushed it to the side because we had other stuff going on, and then we'll be bringing it back next week.
Yes, we will.
Absolutely. You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Also, we are just a couple weeks away from our buddies over at Toy_Tracker for putting up LJNs on their site. So I look forward to seeing carded and what they go with for loose LJNs, and you'll see the price differences on those. You can also go to Body Slam Clothing, pick up any of the Brian Pillman t-shirts that we have talked about past previous weeks. Scott and I talked about this, but we do want to thank Michael for sending over those Eagle Moss figures. Please head on over there, sign up for their subscription. Can't thank them enough for what they did for sending that over. It meant a lot to Scott and I that they did that. So go over there, sign up for the subscription. You get a magazine. You get the statue that they come with. In their subscriptions, they're going to have Taker. They're going to have Brett. They're going to have Roman, current stars. So go over there, sign up.
And Jeff, don't forget, if you do the subscription where they're going to send you every figure in the series, you can then get the ring. Dude, who doesn't want a ring? Ring-a-mania is running wild right now, especially with the Hasbro rings that everybody's customizing. Props to Soda for his ring. It looks amazing. But dude, the fact that you can get a ring to go with, as you call them, desk figures, that's very, very cool. So, but you've got to do the subscription to get the ring. Well worth it.
Desk displays.
Desk displays, thank
Hashtag you. Desk displays. I've got quite a few of those on my desk.
Well, then you'll get a ring to put your desk displays in. Even better.
I don't have room for that, but I'll put the Eagle Moss statues on there, definitely.
There you go.
Yep. So thank you again, Michael. Scott, roll call.
Yes, sir. Roll call this week starts off with our amazing artist, Jason Wolf. You can follow him on Twitter at JasonWLF. If you need artwork, he's your guy. All those cool shirts that you see from us on Pro Wrestling Tees and What a Maneuver, Jason made those. So our cardback shirt, the British Bulldogs inspired shirt, all of our shirts, Jason's the guy that designs those. So again, if you need artwork, he is your guy. And right now, he's doing Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling sketch cards. But he's not just doing guys that were in the cartoons. He's doing guys of that era. So like all the way through like the late 80s. So he's got like Demolition, Coco Beware, Bam Bam Bigelow. He's got some really cool sketches he's doing right now. And you can go purchase those from him again on Twitter at JasonWLF. Jeff, this week, I'm going to throw it out to our podcast buddies. And I want to give a big shout out first off to Rant with Ant. He put out an announcement that he's going to be wrapping up his show. He's got other priorities. that he needs to tend to in life, and the podcast is going to hopefully be pushed aside just temporarily. Hopefully he brings it back. But June 8th is going to be his last show, and if you've ever met Ant, he's an awesome dude. He really is. And we'd appreciate it if you went out and supported him. His last show is going to be June 8th. So if you could give him a fond farewell, listen to his last episode. And again, hopefully that's just hitting the pause button on that show. But definitely go give Rant with Ant a listen. Next up, Marty and Sarah, our buddies over there. Great people. Marty, of course, is Marty DeRosa, the guy we mentioned in the Galoob segment for our Fig Life Hall of Fame. Breaker and Bane, their show drops every Sunday, just like ours, the Breaker and Bane Power Hour. Great podcast. Give it a listen. Not Your Mama's Soap Opera. Positively Pro Wrestling, the PPW podcast. The Doing the Favor podcast. Great guys doing that one. One that reached out to me this week, Jeff. Top Rope Nation, another wrestling podcast. Go give those guys a listen. And finally, the Chick Foley Show.
Also, I want to give a shout out to the Doing the Favor guys. Good bunch of dudes over there. Always talking baseball. It's funny. Everybody, we were joking around. He's like, you know, if people were trying to guess the conversation that you and I have between each other, it's probably everybody would probably guess wrestling figures. Dude, like 90-95% of our talk is about baseball.
Fantasy baseball?
Yes, fantasy baseball also. I complain about my team all the time. That's my team's a joke. So I'm usually crying the blues to Sean and him.
Well, at least somebody will listen.
I know. But anyways, I want to give them a quick shout. They're really good guys over there. Enjoy their show. Also, Breaker and Bane. Bane did the intro to this week's Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame. Also, Breaker and Bane, Breaker, good friend. Steve over at the PDW podcast, great friend. Bane, thank you again for doing the intro to the Hall of Fame. That meant a lot. Did it in one take again, dude. Big_one take Bane.
That's it. That dude is one take. He is money. And he does the outro for our show that you hear every week. It's so catchy. My daughter loves it. My wife loves it. It's amazing. And Bane is an awesome, awesome, talented guy.
Absolutely. Bane-a-mania on iTunes. Go check it out. Scott, for episode 174 and the 2019 Hall of Fame, anything else?
Yes, we thoroughly hope that you guys enjoyed and mostly agreed with this year's 2019 Fig Life Hall of Fame class. And happy toy hunting.
Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Fully posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.